Hallelujah. Good morning. You excited? I hope so. Praise and worship was amazing. So before we get started here, I was going to see if we could have Mike Freeman come down front. Mike Freeman has been our law enforcement at the front there. Yeah, give him a hand. Hallelujah. Mike, if you could just join me up here on the stage. Excuse me. Hallelujah. Don't want to mess with him because not only does he have a gun, but he has a taser. It's not loaded. Don't tell him that. Praise God. Well, Mr. Mike here is retiring. See? These people love you. You've just been such a blessing to us, you know. You know, any guy or woman in uniform always looks sharp, right? And doubly sharp when they're armed. And got the badge and the whole thing. Excuse me. But we just so appreciate your faithfulness to the church and, you know, just being there, you know, Sunday after Sunday. And we just want to pray a blessing over you right now. And I've got a scripture for you I want to read to you. This is out of Psalm 115, and it says, the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. So the Lord will increase you more and more, you and your children. So extend your hands, if you would, towards Mr. Mike. Lord, we just thank you for this man of God as he's been stalwart. He's been standing there faithfully, not only on our Sunday mornings, but throughout our community. God, people don't even see what he's done, the things that he knows and that he's experienced. But God, I ask that you bless his heart. Bless him, bless his family. Pour out your blessings, shower them upon him, Father God, in the days ahead that he'll be able to refresh and be with his children and grandchildren and just enjoy life as you intended and experience the blessings of the Lord in a greater degree, in a greater measure. For it's in Jesus' name that we ask this. And everybody said, amen. Amen. We appreciate you, man. Hallelujah. Would you do me a favor and bring me that bottle of water? Hallelujah. All right. Appreciate that. All right, so there's some books out front. I'm going to mention these, get these out of the way real quick. By Robert Morris, Truly Free. We're in a freedom series, and if you haven't picked up a copy of this, we've got them out there. They're for sale, pretty economical. The Bait of Satan, this is a really excellent book here. You don't want to get caught up in the bait of Satan, which is offenses, getting offenses. And then Joyce Meyer's classic, The Battlefield of the Mind, because the issue always is what's going on up here. Amen? Hallelujah. So, all right, we are in a freedom series, and we're going to talk today about blessing and cursing. Amen? All right, so Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that every time we read your word, we are fed, we are taught, and we are led. We're fed what we need to grow, we're taught what we need to know, and we are led where we need to go. Now, Holy Spirit, you're the greater one who lives in us. You're our teacher. We ask you to help us to understand the words of God that we're about to read today in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. So if you're taking notes, I didn't provide any notes for the sound people back there and the audiovisual people, I apologize. I was still working on them this morning. But if you're taking notes, Galatians 5:1. Galatians 5:1. Write that one down. We'll read it. And then Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Galatians 3:13. So if you want to turn to the book of Galatians chapter 3, we will start there. But Galatians 5:1 says this, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Amen? God's intention for his creation is to be free and to live free. Amen? That was his original intent. And in Galatians 3:13, it says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. How did he do that? He was made a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree." Why did he do that? That the blessing of Abraham might come on us through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So we are in a series called Freedom, and today we're going to talk about blessing and cursing. Many people are held in bondage by the words that they speak over themselves and over other people. We don't really fully understand what cursing is, I believe. What does it look like? What does it sound like? And most importantly, how to stop it. In order to live in freedom like God intended, we have to break the habit of cursing. And you may be thinking, well, Pastor Dad, I don't curse myself. You probably do more than you realize. I don't curse other people. Well, you probably do more than you realize. So hopefully when we're done today, we'll have a greater understanding of this. We'll know how to stop it. Amen? So that we can live free. So in order to live in freedom, like I said, we have to break the habit of cursing. We have to break the habit of pronouncing death and doom and destruction over ourselves and other people. Words that we speak that cause us and others to fall from the blessing that Christ has secured for us. Because God did that. None of us could fulfill the law. Anybody in here keep the Ten Commandments? I tried in the early days, way back when. You just can't do it. And the Bible says that all have come short. They fall short. We can't do it. We needed somebody to come and do it for us. And God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to come and live a sinless life. And he hung on the tree, the cross, and God laid on him the sins of the world. He took our curse for us. And so we live through him. Amen? So, if you're taking notes again, point number one is this is what a blessing looks like and sounds like. This is what a blessing looks like and sounds like. So if you have a Bible, hopefully you do, turn to the book of Genesis, the book of Genesis chapter 1. I think it's always good to go to the Bible, amen? And the reason I say that is because there's a lot of books written, right? A lot of books written, and people have opinions, people have ideas, and sometimes when we're studying the Word of God, the Bible says we should study to show ourselves approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth, right? Rightly divide, that's the key thing, rightly dividing the word of truth. So many times we take a scripture and we take it and run with it, and it may not mean what we think it means. Amen? Am I stepping on toes? Scripture has to interpret scripture. So if you find a truth in there, you should be able to prove it throughout the Bible. Amen? I always tell people, you need to know what you believe, why you believe it, and be able to prove it from the Word of God. Amen? Not because Pastor so-and-so said it or Prophet so-and-so said it. You need to prove it out for yourself in the Word of God. We need to be like the Bereans in the book of Acts. They listened to the apostles preach the Word, and it says, and then they went and checked it out for themselves. Is that what he really said? Good stuff, amen? We're just getting started. All right, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now I'm reading from the King James. Yours might read a little bit different. Verse 28, and God blessed them. We're looking at what a blessing looks like and sounds like. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So God blessed them. How do we bless? We bless with our words, right? Didn't we do that with Mike just then? We found the scriptures, and we spoke blessings over him, over his family, and over his life. We speak or release blessings through our words. And here's a first example of a blessing in the Bible, and is with God. And God said, you be fruitful, because that's God's intention. You know, you go over it in the New Testament, in John chapter 15, Jesus said, I'm the vine, right? You're the branches, and the husband wants you to bear much fruit, because when we bear much fruit, we bring glory to who? We bring glory to God. As Christians, when you're born again, God expects us to bear fruit. He wants us to grow in the gifts of the Spirit, right? The fruit of the Spirit. He wants us to grow spiritually. He wants us to be a blessing, to act like him on the planet, to draw other people into the kingdom of God, right? And it says that, I think in 1 Peter chapter 3, he says, he, the husbandman, God, has long patience. He's waiting for the fruit. That's other people. God expects us to bear fruit. So he spoke to Adam and Eve. He said, be fruitful. That's God's original intention. He wants you to be fruitful. He wants you to multiply. Amen? He wants you to fill the earth and subdue it. How are you going to subdue the earth? He wants you to rule over everything that's in the sea, everything that's in the air, and everything that's on the land. Sea, air, and land. Sounds like Navy SEALs. When he looks at you, that's what he sees. And he's thinking, why aren't you doing that? Many times we're not walking and living in freedom because of our mouth. Amen? Hallelujah. That word bless simply means this, to speak well of. Oh, I can do that. So many times we don't. That word bless is where we get our word eulogy. When you go to a funeral, somebody stands up and delivers a eulogy. It comes from that Greek word. It means to speak well of. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, why are we supposed to do that? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Why are we supposed to do blessing? Speak blessing. What does it look like for us? It says in the New Living Translation, don't repay evil for evil. Has everybody treated you evilly? Is that a word, evilly? Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and he will grant you his blessing. God wants us to bless. Why does he want us to bless? So that he continue to shower his blessing on us. He wants us to act like him in this earth. Amen? So when people are evil towards you, do evil things, amen, you're supposed to bless them. Matthew 5, 44. You might want to write that one down. Matthew 5, 44. Do good to those that hate you. Bless those that curse you. Pray for those that despitefully use you. Those are always, seems like the opposite things of what you want to do. I had a relative recently, this week, kind of insulted me and my wife. And I was just looking at him, spawned, seriously? You know, and everything in you, in your flesh, wants to rise up and just throttle them or tell them what for, right? And I just smiled, and I thought, no, I'm going to act like my Heavenly Father. He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Amen? Sometimes people are just unthankful. And so I was kind, and I spoke blessings over that individual. That's what God wants us to do. And so for yourself, we're going to look at this a little bit more. So many times we're not blessing ourselves, and we need to bless ourselves. So many times we are speaking curses over ourselves and over other people. So how do you speak blessings? In the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 17 to 23. Ephesians 1, 17 through 23. I can spit it out. Ephesians 3, chapter 3, verse 14 through 21. Anyway, in chapter 1, chapter 3, they're what are called the Ephesians prayers, or the epistle prayers. And you can pray these over yourself. What does it sound like? And there's a reason you should do this, amen? God wants you to remind him of his word. Amen. He wants you to remind him of his word, bring him to remembrance of what he said. And so in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, you can pray this over yourself. You can pray this blessing over other people. Verse 17, he says, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, or you can say, I pray that the God of my Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of himself. I pray that the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You can pray that blessing over yourself. You can pray it over other people, people that are acting snarly towards you, right? Because so many times, just to be honest, you don't want to do that. We like being mad, I think, sometimes. Because it feels good. I don't know why, but I just feel good. I'm being mad for a while. I feel good. And when I get tired of it, oh, phew, I feel better. It takes a lot more effort, trust me, when somebody is mistreating you and saying bad things to walk away and then speak blessings over their life. It takes a lot more self-control on your part, a lot more effort to do it. Nobody said it was going to be easy, right? Just because we live by faith doesn't mean that it's easy. Many times it's hard, but that's how we grow, amen? Y'all are just absorbing this, right? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, the Apostle Paul says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." And then I personalize it, "that he would grant me, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in my inner man, that Christ may dwell in my heart by faith, and that I would be rooted and grounded in love." So that's an example of speaking blessings over yourself. Or like we spoke over Mike Freeman, you can take Psalm 115. "I am blessed of the Lord, me and my family. The Lord is increasing me more and more, me and my children." Well, I don't feel that way. It doesn't look that way. We don't go by how we feel. We don't go by what we see, right? This is a Christian church, right? We go by faith. What God's word says. We stand on his word. Hallelujah. This is what a blessing looks like and it sounds like. We don't repay evil for evil. We speak blessing because we're called to inherit a blessing. So I would encourage you, if you haven't read this book, it's called The Power of Blessing by Kerry Kirkwood, The Power of Blessing. He talks about blessing and cursing in here and how it will change your life. We began to apply this in our lives and saw instantaneous results. Instantaneous results. One time, I can think of story after story after story, but I was working here at the school on the elementary side, and over on this side, the west side, at the end of the day, there's an area that we call walk-up, pick-up, or whatever, where the kids don't get on the bus, and their parents don't drive through and pick them up. The parents, for whatever reason, feel the need to get out of the car and stand there and wait for their kids. Okay. And then we bring the kids out. Well, there was this one mama. You remember Deborah, don't you? And she would cuss Deborah out. Deborah was the principal. Cuss her out in front of all these other parents. The other parents just kind of moving away, embarrassed. So this one particular day, the fourth grade teachers came to me and said, "Mr. Calhoun, this lady's out there and she's cussing out Miss Deborah and we're just getting tired of it." I said, okay. So we went in their classroom and we all sat down together and I said, "So we want to fix this?" "Yeah, we don't know what to do." I said, "We're going to pray, okay?" And so we prayed blessings and we say, "Father God, I just pray blessings over Mrs. So-and-so and her family, that they would walk in all the good intentions that you have for their life." I'm just praying this out and these teachers look at me like. The next morning, honest to goodness, this mama comes to school and withdraws her kids. Not that we want that. But I just prayed that this woman would walk in peace and walk in blessings and fulfill God's desire for her heart. And she comes and disenrolls her kids, takes them out. And those fourth grade teachers, they caught me later in the day walking down the hall. "Mr. Calhoun, Mr. Calhoun, we got a list of prayers." It works. If you pray God's blessings on people, you are authorizing God to go to work. We're not called to call down fire from heaven like in the Old Testament. That'd be kind of cool, though. No. When we speak blessings and act like God, that gives God full authority to begin to move on your behalf and show himself strong. Amen? I could tell you story after story, but I got to keep moving. We haven't even got to the cursing yet. But I'm just telling you, it works. It works on people. It works on bugs. I've used it on bugs. You bugs can't stay in here. I pray that you'd fulfill God's blessing for your life elsewhere. And they leave. They leave. All right. So this is what a curse looks like and sounds like. Point number two. This is what a curse looks and sounds like. We're going to go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Hallelujah. So you know, Adam and Eve, they're in the garden. They missed the mark. They sinned. God comes looking for them. God asks Adam, where are you? He begins explaining the situation, blames the woman. The woman blames the serpent, right? So in verse 14, Genesis chapter 3, verse 14, then the Lord God said unto the serpent, because you have done this. Let's just stop there. Because you have done this. What did he do? Eve said, the serpent beguiled me. The serpent deceived me. What did the serpent do? He took what God said and he perverted it. Did he not? He bent the truth. He distorted it. And God said to the serpent, because you have done this, because you have deceived them by distorting my word and leading them astray from me. It's important that we understand this. Because you have done this, you are cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Whoa. You are cursed. Well, if to be blessed is to speak well of, what do you think cursing is? To speak ill of, to speak bad of, to speak doom to. And so here's the actual curse. We get to see it. Upon your belly shall you go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. That doesn't sound like a blessing to me. I don't like snakes, personally. I think the only good snake's a dead snake, but anyway. But he spoke a curse over him. He spoke death and destruction, doom to the serpent. And we hear the words, because when you speak a blessing, it's words. When you speak a curse, it's words that are released. Amen? And he said, on your belly, you're going to crawl for the rest of your life, and you're going to eat dust for the rest of your life. That's not a good thing. Let's look at another one. Let's go over to the book of Mark, chapter 11. Mark, chapter 11. This is good stuff. We are learning, and we're going to pull it together here in just a minute. Mark, chapter 11. Hallelujah. So Jesus is going into Jerusalem in Mark, chapter 11, verse 11. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. Then he went out to Bethany in verse 12, and on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Jesus was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came happily if he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto the tree, to the fig tree, right? And the NIV, the New International Version, said this way, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. He spoke a curse. And we know that because when we get to verse 20, it says, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. May no one ever eat from fruit from you again. He spoke doom. He spoke ruin over that fig tree. And it never did bear fruit again. Amen? Amen. So this is what a curse looks like, and this is what it sounds like. This is very simple, okay? Sometimes we make things really complicated, you know? We've got all kinds of books written about breaking the curse, generational curses, right? I think they're kind of humorous. I mean, they're good. There's a lot of good stuff in there, but so many times there's sticks mixed in with the straw, you know? And you have to learn when you're reading a book, if it's not the Bible, if you're reading a book, you eat the hay and you spit out the sticks, right? Because it doesn't matter if I'm up here talking to you, Pastor David, Pastor Walt, it doesn't matter who's up here talking to you, you had better study the word out for yourself. Amen? You need to prove it for yourself. Is it true or is it not true? Because there are a lot of traditions of men that have been woven in through the years. I'll give you an example real quick. Has anybody in here heard the phrase, die to self? I want to see your hand. Have you heard this phrase? Well, you just need to die to self. You cannot die to self. It's psychologically, emotionally, physically impossible. You cannot die to you. And that's not what's in the scripture. This is an example. In the scripture, this is what it says. Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, you need to take up your cross, you need to follow me, and you need to deny yourself. Man, that sounds really similar to die to self, doesn't it? The problem is one is doable and one's not. You cannot die to yourself. It sounds very spiritual, very scriptural, but it's teaching of men. Amen? Hallelujah! I'm going to do some slapping around this morning. You can deny yourself. You look it up in the Greek, to deny means to say no. No! Don't take that third piece of cake. No! I'm not going to say that. No! I'm not going to think that. No! I'm not going to do that. The Apostle Paul said we're supposed to mortify our members. Lust, things like that. You can do that. So it doesn't matter who's up here preaching the word, teaching the word. You take notes, you listen to it, you better prove it out for yourself in here. Don't just take my word for it. Amen? Appreciate that, Pastor. Thank you very much. All right. Point number one was this is what a blessing looks like. Point number two, this is what a curse looks like. I got about 7 minutes left. Point number three, God has given us the ability to bless or to curse. God has given us the ability to bless or to curse. Our words are like containers wherewith we either bless people or we curse people. Envision or imagine a bucket up here with a handle on it, right? And our words are like containers. It says in Proverbs 18, verse 21, Proverbs 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of your pocket, right? No, death and life are in the power of your tongue. In all the sea, in all the air, in all the land, there is no other creature that God has endowed with the ability or the power to bless or to curse except for man. Would you agree? You have been given an awesome ability. You can speak blessings or you can speak cursings. And our words are containers, and they carry life or death. Jesus, speaking to the disciples, said, the words that I speak to you, they are life and they are spirit. And you've probably heard parents talking to the kids, curses like this. Why are you so stupid? What'd you do that for? You're acting just like your father. That's not a blessing. How do you think that's going to affect that child? Or speaking things over your spouse, your wife. I've heard guys do this. Just keep looking up here. When I was in high school, you know, guys got married young. When I was in the military, guys got married young. And, you know, of course, they show pictures of their wife for the wedding day, and they're beautiful and everything. And then a few years roll by. Not everybody. I'm just saying this is an example. Well, that old heifer, boy, I tell you what, my old lady, she got thunder thighs now. And I mean, it seems simplistic, but you're going to get what you say. Because if you say something long enough, you'll believe it. Well, I was just kidding. No, you say something long enough, you'll believe it. And when you believe something strong enough, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. Somehow I innately knew, I don't know how, to never ever speak those kinds of words over my wife. Now, I may think some things, but I don't say those things because I'm not going to give life to it. I tell her she's beautiful. I tell her, thank you for staying in shape. Thank you for exercising. Thank you for working out. Thank you for the cleaning the house. Thank you for cooking the food the way you did. You're a blessing to me. You're beautiful. Speak life over your family. What do you do if people have spoken curses over you? I know I love my mother and my father, but in their latter years, they said some things. You know, they deal with certain physical ailments, medical conditions, or idiosyncrasies, and they've said things like this. See what you've got to look forward to? You're going to be just like this. And I've stopped them in their tracks and said, no, no. My Heavenly Father, and I just tell them, I quote Scripture, my Heavenly Father says, I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. With long life will he satisfy me. It's amazing how quickly they stop talking. If somebody has spoken those things over, you're never going to amount to anything. If your teacher said that, if your boss said that, if they said negative things, spoken those words of doom over your life, you don't have to receive that. In Proverbs, it says, the curse causeless shall not come. Remember, Jesus Christ has already redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. It's not going to land on you. They can speak it all they want. My response to them is, I'm going to pray blessings over them. I'm going to speak blessings over them. And the words that they've spoken over me, I'm going to say, no, I'm going to quote God's word back. Whether they're standing there or they're not standing there. That's how you stop it. That's how you break it. Amen? And so if you've been guilty of speaking words of doom and destruction over your kids or your spouse or other people, I just want to encourage you, take note of that and stop it. You can stop it. Well, I was just kidding. There are no idle, worthless words. Every word is a container that carries something. It either carries life or death. We're talking about blessing and cursing. We're talking about walking in the freedom that God has provided for us. Amen? And so you may have been cursing your own life. I just can't do it. I'll never be smart enough. I'll never make enough money. Stop saying that. It's not based on how you feel or what you see. It's based on what God has already said about you. You can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens you. Amen? And God has supplied all your needs through Jesus Christ. He's provided blessing, healing, salvation. Hallelujah. In the book of James, chapter 3, verse 9, you can read it for yourself. James, chapter 3, verse 9, he encourages us. He says, you know, with our mouth and our tongue, on one hand we bless God, and on the next hand we turn around and curse our fellow man. He said, brothers, these things ought not be. Many times we're hindering ourselves from walking in freedom simply because of what's coming out of our mouth. Well, I was just joking. I was just kidding. It doesn't matter if you thought you were or not. All of heaven is listening. The devil's listening. If you want to change your world, change your words. Amen? Hallelujah. So, what kind of life do you want to live? One of bondage or one of freedom? In Galatians 5:1, I'll say it again. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. It is for freedom that he set us free. God's original intention for each one of us, for all of mankind, was blessing. Be fruitful. multiply, fill up the earth, subdue it by ruling and reigning over everything that's in the sea, everything that's in the air, and everything that's upon the land. You don't have any authority over other people's wills, but he expects us to rule and reign in this planet. He expects us to rule and reign. Stop thinking of yourself as lowly. God doesn't look at you that way. He doesn't see you that way at all. He sees you sealed with the blood of Jesus and by his Holy Spirit. You are his possession. You belong to him. You are part of the family of God. It is a royal family. His is a kingdom. It's called the kingdom of God. And we're supposed to be exhibiting kingdom life here on the planet. Amen? This isn't too deep, is it? This is pretty simple. This is pretty basic. We talked about blessing and cursing today. We saw what a blessing looks like and sounds like. We saw what a curse looks like and sounds like. And we know that our words are containers. So now, guess what? The responsibility is on us to change the way we speak. And one of the quickest ways to change the way you speak is the way you think. Romans chapter 12 says, renew your mind on the word of God. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, let me speak a blessing over you, and then we'll transition to what's next. Hallelujah. Father, we come to you. We present ourselves before you as instruments of blessing. We want to be oracles, a mouthpiece to bless. Lord, give us the vocabulary so that we turn away from being so quick to curse and speak evil of people. Instead, bless them. Give us the words to bless those that we don't even know and to honor the dignitaries you have placed in authority over our lives. We speak grace over our children. We see the situation not as insurmountable or destructive, but we see it with the eyes of grace. We see what can be. Lord, help us not to have a narrow mind and a mind so shut that we cannot hear you. And Spirit of the Lord, help us right now. Holy Spirit, help us. Bring us to a place of maturity so that the power that works within us is not self-destructive, but one where we are proclaiming the blessing of others so that we might be blessed. In Jesus' name. Amen.